Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pony Development Sync for January the 25th in the year 2022. I'm your host, Joe McElvain. If those others on the call want to say their names so that people can associate a name to the voice, now is a good time for that.
Hi, I'm Sean Allen.
I'm Gord Tischer.
Hi, I'm Borja.
Great. So with that, we can get started by talking about pull requests in the RFC's repo. Let's talk first about pull requests number 195 in the RFC's repo. Initial draft for built-in FFI safe only as default. Sean, do you want to give a quick recap of the motivation for this and where we're at for those listening along?
Yes. So the motivation for this was that at the moment, the default for what happens with Pony is that all FFI is accepted and you have to explicitly deny certain, all FFI is allowed, but you can limit it to a certain set of packages. And if you do, you give the Pony compiler a list of packages which are allowed to use FFI, and then everything else is denied. This can be problematic because if you're using the standard library or one of your dependencies uses something from the standard library, which is using FFI, this would make it so that your compilation fails until you accept that the standard library is allowed to do this FFI. This makes it somewhat non-ergonomic to use this functionality in general, because you're going to have to go through and do them. And any changes to the standard library to add FFI becomes a breaking change, including not just adding FFI, but potentially moving something from one package to another, even if you are not directly referencing that package. There's a variety of things there. And what we wanted to do was to make it so that we encourage people to be safer and to make Pony safer, because FFI allows you to blow past all of our safety guarantees that we make. So what we wanted to do is switch to having it be all FFI is denied by default. And then we talked a bit about that and said, well, then every single Pony program is going to have to add all of these things in to turn them on, specifically stuff in the standard library. And given that every Pony program is already using the Pony runtime, we believe that the standard library requires just as much trust as the runtime does. So there's no danger to including all of the standard library packages as being automatically trusted. And then when you provide a flag, which we which we're talking about changing from safe to allow FFI, anything that you do in the allow FFI flag will make it so that these are additional packages which are not part of the third, which are not part of the standard library, which you would also then be allowed to do FFI, and that would much better fit the safety guarantees that we want to provide people with Pony.
Great, thanks. And I think most recently there were some concerns raised by Borja about potential malicious use of standard library names and how that can be mitigated. And I believe, just to kind of summarize, I think where we landed on that, if I understood correctly, what we're going to advise is that the absolute paths, which take priority over relative paths or pony path paths, the absolute paths be used in the implicit allowed standard library packages list. Is that kind of where we landed on that?
Yes, and the Pony compiler at the time when it starts up to compile people's code knows the path to the standard library that it is going to be using,
right,
and can extract the absolute paths from that and put them already into the safe list.
Right. There's no danger unless somebody overwrites the code at that absolute path, which at that point it's pretty difficult to prevent. Unless somebody overwrites the code at that particular path, there's no other way to shadow or override a standard library package and get an implicit trust. Now, I think you could still get explicit trust if you have a package that's named the same as a standard library package. You could get explicit trust by having the user say allow FFI net, for example, and you had your net package inside of the user's like project directory for some reason that probably the user is aware of and has consent for. So to me, that all sounds like a reasonable state to be in.
One thing for folks who are listening along at home, when this meeting is done, sometime before the end of the evening, I will be opening a issue on the Pony tutorial repo to beef up some of the documentation that's there for packages, because there are some interesting, tricky points of how package resolution works that have come up on the discussion of this PR, which I suspect a large number of Pony users are not aware of, and probably would never stumble across and wouldn't matter to them, but still should be documented, because they both allow you to do power user type things, but could also open yourself up to trusting code that you didn't intend to through doing things in a way that you weren't aware of would cause potential issues.
Sounds good. Any other further discussion on this RFC besides what we already mentioned? Alrighty then, next up on our list, we have RFC's repo pull request 194 entitled Expose Runtime Scheduler Information. I think there's been no further movement on this RFC since the activity that was picked up by the automatic agenda generator was the notes from after the previous week's sync call. Sean, do you think that this is, should we get like the final comment period label attached to it?
I think it's final comment. I think when you and I talk, we basically came to the, we would personally name things differently for this, but I wrote the RFC, so I'm going to stick with my naming, and you didn't dislike it enough to be like, no, I won't accept this. Just like your naming, I would have been fine with it if it was there. And so we're just going with the, I created it, so we're going to go with the Sean naming, where we have a bit of a disagreement for how it would be, but neither one of us thinks it's like, it would be something where we would stop the RFC if the naming was the other way.
Yeah. And admittedly, the naming convention that you used is, or the naming, the assumptions for naming that you used are more common in the Pony standard library than, to my chagrin, they're more common than the assumptions that I would prefer to apply. But yeah, I think that all sounds good. So we can mark that as final comment period. If you wouldn't mind doing that, I will move on to the next request. We have in that same repository, the RFC's repository, we have pull request 193. I believe that the only notes to give here, well, so that Sean and I kind of discussed this a little bit further. 15 minutes ago, there was changes. So yeah, Sean and I discussed this a little bit further last week because we were kind of on opposite sides of the wanting to accept the RFC. And I think we came up with some points that we think we're both aligned on, and that a version of this RFC that included those points would be acceptable to both of us, and possibly others as well, depending on their individual judgments. Because we're not the only two decision makers, but that's just kind of like we were at a bit of an impasse otherwise between the two of us, it's good to have that alignment, and hopefully others can align as well. It looks like about 15 minutes ago, Sean posted a comment describing the points that we discussed. I have not reviewed this comment yet, but yeah.
It's possible that I missed things or that I failed to capture some nuance on anything. So if I failed to capture nuance, please just edit it directly. And if there's something that I missed, please feel free to add a comment afterwards for additional points. Or if you think it would be better and you don't really care about the history, just go ahead and add those additional points into my comment by editing it.
Okay, I probably won't do that just because I would find that annoying as a reader. But yeah, I'll add another comment if I think there's additional things we're missing. I think one thing that could be discussed here that you and I had not come up with something, the name that we liked for this interface that has the rewind method on it, right? So just to kind of elaborate on that and maybe get feedback from those others on the call, or maybe somebody listens along to this later and wants to add a comment to the RFC. So part of this RFC, there's a distinction in the RFC as it currently stands between the iterator interface and the there's a new one called rewindable iterator that is an extension of the iterator interface. So it includes all pieces of iterator, but it also has the rewind method. That was written that way because not all iterators that one can imagine that need to be used with the iterator interface, not all iterators could possibly be rewound. Like, for example, something like a stream that you were consuming from, and then the data you were consuming was being buffered in memory, but then at some point it becomes unbuffered from memory and it's gone now and you can't rewind back to the beginning of the stream. That's an example that it's not present anywhere in the standard library cases that we've looked at in this RFC. But all of the standard library collections, iterators should be rewindable. They are not currently written to include the rewind method, all of them. So that's one of the things we discovered in this RFC process, is that we could benefit from having some mechanism to better keep them all in sync in terms of what features they have, so that we're not having inconsistent features for each iterator. So I think, you know, Sean and I agreed, and probably others would agree as well, that any iterator that in the standard library that is reasonably, any collections iterator, I'll say, like we're not looking at non-collections iterator in this RFC, but any collections iterator in the standard library that is capable of rewinding should be. And I think from our understanding, that's all of them in the standard library currently are possible to rewind, and thus the rewind method should be implemented for them. So on its face, you would think that, okay, the changes to the RFC, it should be that rewindable iterator should be what's returned from all of these, because we still don't want to make iterator a more narrow interface, I think. And rewindable iterator it has the extension to include the rewind method. And then we started talking about, well, are there other things that we might also eventually include on all of these standard library collections iterators? And I gave the example of a peek method to let you look at the next element without actually moving one step forward in the iteration. That's a pretty common thing on some other iterator libraries out there for various languages. And Sean also was mentioning something about what effectively was like a filter in place sort of iteration, where you could efficiently remove things that you were iterating over. That's a possible other feature area that could be added for mutable collections in the future. So all that said, that, you know, we probably want, I think Sean and I both agreed, and others may agree, that we probably want some interface that all of the standard library collections iterators will respond to, or sorry, not respond to, but will implement. So we want them all to be subtypes of a common interface that people can expect. And that way we can make sure they're all kept in lockstep. As we add new features, we can add them to all the collections iterators in the standard library. And unfortunately, due to how things are structured and the fact that array has collections iterators, that interface would need to be a new type in the standard library. And Sean and I think that that, you know, because it might include other methods beyond rewind, that it should probably be a more general name than rewindable iterator, because it could include in the future things like peak and so on. I would sort of argue that we probably also want the individual interfaces. Like, for example, rewindable iterator would be an iterator that has rewind, and peakable iterator would be an iterator that has peak. But there's problems with adding all those names to the built-in package, in that they start taking up valuable space. And also, as Sean has pointed out, structural typing allows anyone to create such an interface and use it as needed without a lot of fuss. So what we're looking at now as a sort of, you know, agreement between Sean and I that others may or may not agree with, is like, okay, adding, so we have the iterator type that remains as it is in the standard library, the iterator interface. And then there's also another interface that has iterator plus some more extension methods, which for now is just rewind, but probably will be things like also peak and maybe other things in the future. And there's questions about what that type should be called. The only idea that I've thought of so far that is reasonably good and is not still not very good is like full iterator. But that's like, yeah, it's not really a great name. And I'd be very interested if other people have other names to suggest for such an iterator interface.
The only one I've come up with so far, Joe, is collection iterator.
That's actually not bad.
It's not great either, but it's not bad. It's the best I could come up with. It was not bad.
Yeah. Anybody else on the call have thoughts about that? Okay. So yeah, if anybody else listening along to the sync later or reading through the RFC later has thoughts about that or other aspects of this RFC, please do chime in with those. Again, that's RFC 193 in the RFC's repo. Sorry, pull request 193 in the RFC's repo. So with that said, let's go ahead and move on to pull requests in the PonyC repo. We have 3961, which is a pull request by me and has not really had much. There's nothing new to talk about here compared to last week. This is still something I had the do not merge label on it, and I still need to play with various approaches and find one that I think works well in order for the approach to be reviewed. Can leave that off unless people want to discuss things about that now. Well, maybe I want to discuss stuff now, sure. So I have not actually described it audibly yet, but the purpose of this pull request, well, the title of it is refactor pony actor pad size as a function instead of a preprocessor value. There's some interesting things I ran into with this the motivation for this that we had talked about a little bit in Zulip in the past, and possibly in a sync call as well, was to have certain features of the runtime be toggleable at Pony program compile time rather than Pony runtime compile time for the special case, or not special case, but for, like, provided that the Pony program was linking to the runtime bit code rather than a static library version of the runtime or dynamic library version of the runtime. So rather than like a .a or .so or, you know, .dylib or .dll, depending on your platform, rather than that, if you're using the LLVM bit code, the .bc, then in theory, it should be possible for us to turn on certain features that change the like compile time properties of the runtime at the moment right before we link it to the Pony program. So they're linking a slightly different version of the runtime with certain features turned on and off. Features, for example, like memory analytics with the current use memtrack feature that can be enabled, which it's disabled by default, but because it has performance overhead, but it can be enabled when compiling the runtime. I don't think it's used very often, but it has been used effectively in the past and could be more useful if it was something that you could do with the standard distribution of Pony.c without having to compile the runtime yourself. So that's kind of the impetus for this work. Some things I found here. I originally tried an approach of, well, I was trying to move these preprocessor values into inline functions in C. And I first tried an approach of, just using an inline function in the header file, which didn't compile quite well and on all platforms in CI. And also I figured out that even if that did compile, it wasn't actually going to do what I wanted because it was inlined, it was going to be removed before, well, it depends on when the optimizations are applied. That's kind of the interesting thing about this, right? The goal here would be to have everything be completely inlined and gotten rid of the distinction between the feature being on and off. I should be more clear there. Gotten rid of the performance overhead when it's turned off, right? The real goal is that when the feature is turned off, there should be no performance regression in the runtime compared to having it turned off the way it's turned off now. So that's like a key requirement to doing something like this. And the other interesting thing is that, we actually want it to remain not inlined and symbolic all the way up to the point where we're about to run LLVM optimizations on it and link it to the Pony program. And so, however this is designed, it needs to be designed in such a way that when we compile the runtime bytecode, it's not going to aggressively inline these things before we have a chance to override them in the bytecode later. And so I think using a standard C inline function doesn't actually meet that need, because I think Clang is going to inline that as soon as you try to compile it to bytecode, it's going to get inlined because it's part of the C semantics that it be inlined. So I experimented a bit with LLVM annotations, Clang. I'm not sure, but C annotations that Clang picks up to apply LLVM attributes to the function. So there's an always inline and no inline attribute you can apply, which is semantically separate from the C inline function. The other interesting thing here is that by default, these LLVM or Clang seems to be applying a no inline attribute to these functions unless I specify an always inline attribute. I'm not sure why that is. It could be that it thinks that semantics of these public C functions mean that they should not be inlined. But I would hope that they can be inlined after being combined with the linking of LLVM modules to the Pony program. So I need to experiment with different approaches here. One of the ones I'm thinking about is having like a separate LLVM module that supplies the configurable fields the configurable options as functions. And those functions would be marked as always in line with LLVM annotations, but they can't actually be inlined into the Pony runtime until it actually gets linked. And so for the Pony RT.a and .so, or for the static and dynamic libraries we normally build, we could link them with link time optimization with that library that's like, or that object for perhaps that supplies those configurable features, but it would need to supply them with like static hard coded values. And then for the runtime bytecode version of the library, we just wouldn't supply that And it would be expected to be supplied by the Pony compiler when it's using the runtime bitcode. And so there'd be kind of a divergence of how those are linked. And it's all getting a little bit complex in terms of how specific we need to be about how these things are compiled. And so I kind of wanted to check in and see, is it, I still think it'd be worthwhile to have these features, but I'm not sure, like, is this starting to get too much of a maintenance burden to think about the complexity of how these things are linked and ensuring there's no performance regression?
So things I was thinking of is that, one, it sounds like we might be getting into some areas where the no performance regression would require using Clang. Is that possibly true?
I don't think that's necessarily true. The complexity would increase in the sense that I think what I may end up, in order to preserve that as being true, I may end up doing a sort of like a mixture of preprocessor stuff and non-preprocessor stuff, and that mixture would be set up to compile with a different preprocessor value when you're compiling the bit code versus the non-bit code. And so that's kind of what I'm thinking about, but I'm not sure that's going to like be very easy to understand in terms of maintainability.
So yeah, we started down this path because of, at least the initial statement was, well, if we have these features, what do we turn on by default for what we ship, and you know, for pre-built Pony C's, and then do we ship it with different features as well, so you can have these. And one thing I've gone back to when thinking about that is, maybe we just have a default one that we say, this is what you're getting, right? With what you get with the pre-built, and it has these qualities to it. And if you, and you know, you can build from source to do, if you want additional features, is we could fall back to doing that as a possibility. And then removing this complexity and saying, hey, for whatever we consider special features, either on or off, build from source.
Yeah, I think, I mean, that's the current state, right? When you say fall back, that's like how things are now, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, so MemTrack, you have to turn it on.
Right.
And we could decide what is on and what's not on by default. Like, we could decide if we add like runtime diagnostics in the future, that maybe we want those on by default, even though they have a potentially large performance impact, right? And if you're most concerned about performance, well, then you can build a version which doesn't have those on. And because, you know, if you're really concerned about performance, then we already advise you to build from source anyway, so that you can get the runtime with CPU specific optimizations that we don't otherwise have on for what we ship as a generic default, right? And if those more expensive things that we think would be helpful to have in a pre-built aren't debilitating in terms of performance, that might be a very good experience for people unto themselves. Given again, that if you want optimal performance, you need to have, you need to be building really from source yourself, because we're already giving you a runtime, which is not specified to the CPU that you're targeting.
It's a little bit weird. That last point, I was about to object, but the last point is interesting about you. If you already want the most optimal performance, then tuning to your specific CPU is a thing. But still, there's like levels of non-optimality, right? Like there's tuning to a specific CPU, and I think, you know, adding adding allocation overhead to every actor to store extra stuff about the actor in there for metrics is like, I don't know, that's probably a couple orders of magnitude more of an impact. Just guessing.
But for the scenarios where you'd be using the stock one, maybe that's not so bad. Maybe it is. I mean, we don't know what we're talking about for, you know, for the specific thing. And I think it would become a decision for a given thing. Do we have it on or off, in part by how much performance impact does it have versus its usefulness for the scenario of the regular I use pre-built Pony C user.
Yeah. Here's an interesting point, which I think maybe helps us in this direction, which is like, if I want is it fair to say that if I want the optimal performance, I should be using the runtime bit code and compiling with Clang so I can get link time. I can get, like, you know, cross compile unit optimizations when I'm compiling my program against the runtime, and it would also be tuned to the specific CPU I'm compiling on. Is that fair to say?
Yes. Although I suppose there could be some platforms where, for example, Windows right now, that wouldn't be the case because I don't believe we support Clang on Windows, but we would support building your own runtime, which can target your specific CPU on Windows. But yes, if your environment has Clang available and you want the optimal performance for your thing, then you should use Clang and you should use you should do it that way. Yes.
Okay. So here's maybe a quick proposal in that sense, like, right. Like, okay. So if we forget for a moment about the toggleable individual features, like I was originally going after, because I think that's like, it's doable, but I think it just becomes really complex to maintain. And that's what I'm kind of worried about. So instead of that, what if I just checked the size of the release build libponyrt.bc. It's on my machine, it's 270 kilobytes. It would not be unreasonable from my perspective to supply like three of those with the with like the pre-built Pony C. So supplying one that was that matched the standard, like that we ship for the dynamic library and the static library, shipping one that was like all extra features turned off and optimal performance, and then shipping a third one that was like you know, all of the analytics and metrics that we can possibly turn on are enabled. So we have like a standard, we have a fast, and we have a maximal visibility version. And then when you're building your Pony program, you can choose to use the optimal version for like a, you know, like a final production release build that you're doing, or you could choose to use one of the other two. There'd be the standard one that matches the standard runtime that has all the same features that we decided should be used by the average Pony pre-built user. And then there's the one that has even more instrumentation that can be, you know, that we can document and say, hey, if you want to use this cool instrumentation feature, then you use this bundled version of the runtime instead of the others.
So what's the advantage of that versus the status quo?
Any user that uses Pony Up or like the default path for installing Pony and has Clang available on their system would be able to opt in to, well, yeah, they'd be able to opt into a an optimal release build of the bitcode, possibly, you know, making it much easier for them comparing to have to build entirety of themselves, like using CMake and everything on our, like, it might be easier for them to do that, right, if they already have the bitcode present. So that use case is made more convenient, as well as the use case of, I want to use the maximum amount of instrumentation features that are available. So like MemTrack and all the other cool features that may come in the future for the runtime. I want them all, and I want, you know, to watch my pony program work in all these different ways. And I don't want to have to compile myself. So if the bitcode is bundled with the standard Pony C distribution, then that option is now available to you with just adding a runtime flag to your Pony C invocation.
I would have two concerns, right? One, I don't know what the complexity would be for building all of these different bitcode versions would be to package up. Hopefully it's not too high, in which case that concern could go away. The other would be is specifically when just talking about the one where we say like maximal debug one, I can see that probably the vast majority of the time, people would be far more interested in if we added runtime instrumentation that were along the lines of the stuff that Rocco did, right? With that, and really the MemTrack stuff would be noise to them. And so I have some wondering about like the breakdown of saying, perhaps one that's all the debug things. I think it might be more like a lesser amount, although maybe it is we turn a lot of the debug things on except for like the MemTrack or whatever in the standard one and not the optimized one. Neither of these are blockers for this approach, just a couple things that pop to mind that, you know, I would have a couple little worries about. But they're not huge.
Yeah. So on that latter point, it would just be a matter of like figuring out, okay, what belongs in the standard distribution, what belongs in an optimized distribution, and what belongs in a highly instrumented one, and figuring out, I mean, or maybe we decide there's four categories or something that make the most sense.
When we do the bitcode though, the bitcode still has to be optimized to a specific CPU. Yes.
I don't think so.
The instructions.
I don't think it has to be optimized to a CPU. It has to have, the only thing we need to know is the data layout.
So, I mean, can it put like AVX 512 things in there, for example?
Let's see.
Because that's certainly something that for some pony operations, it gets much faster, but you know, not every CPU has those and other extensions. So we build for a more common generic CPU in the runtime. And if you still have to, in order to get those, if you would still have to build from source, then
I'll need to confirm my belief is that, so the AVX 512 optimizations should probably happen in LLVM after, like, that's part of lowering to a particular machine target.
Okay.
The bitcode is only specific to a data layout. So things like what is the pointer width and that sort of thing. So the AVX 512 optimization should come after the bitcode. And so, yes, they should be able to be applied. Provided that I'm not saying they're applied today if you use the runtime BC flag, but it is possible to use LLVM in a way that applies them when we're
so compiling. I think given the other two smaller concerns, if we can eliminate the need for people who are doing this to have to compile from source, right, for anything but a really esoteric thing, then I could certainly see this being worthwhile. Right. It's overall a net win.
Yeah. And the hiccup that I've discovered when using, you know, bitcode is that, and this is kind of the tricky part, I guess, the wrinkle. So the Clang version that they have on their system needs to, wait, am I saying that right? No, we're not using Clang to load the bitcode. We're loading it in the PonyC code that uses LLVM as a static library. It's the same version of LLVM that PonyC was built with, that the libponyrt was built with. Okay, so we shouldn't have that issue I was about to say, because we are controlling the version of, like, we're guaranteeing that the version that you're using to compile the PonyC is the same, sorry, this, the LLVM version is the same for compiling PonyC and compiling the libponyrt. As long as that's true, there shouldn't be an issue with loading in the bitcode later. But what I'm confused about is, why do we say that Clang has to be present on the runtime to link the runtime bitcode into the Pony program? That's what I'm confused about now. Clang shouldn't have to be present. All you need is LLVM to load the bitcode. And then it's a module in LLVM, just like the Pony program is. So I don't see why we require Clang to use run. I think Clang is only required on the system that's compiling PonyC, unless, I could check and see how we're doing it today, but it if we're not doing it this way today, it's definitely possible to refactor so that we don't need Clang on the user's system. All we need is the LLVM version we've already got statically linked. Sorry, is my audio working?
Yes, this is working.
Yes, it's working. Sorry, I had myself muted. Okay. And didn't notice. I thought we had to have the Clang in order to link the bitcode.
I can look at how we're doing it today. But if we're doing it today in a way that requires Clang, I would say we're probably doing it in a suboptimal way. Which maybe was the right way at the time, perhaps, but may not be the right way anymore. I can try to look that up. But yeah, I can say definitively that it is possible to load bitcode into PonyC without using Clang, without using any external Clang. We're just using the internal LLVM static lib. And then once we've got that loaded, it's just a module and you can use link module. So
don't we still need Clang to be the linker at the end in that case?
No, because the output is just an object file like it always was. We don't need Clang on the target system. We don't need Clang on the system of the user who's compiling a Pony program. We only need Clang on the system that's compiling PonyC and PonyRT.
Maybe we say you need it because the directions were written for a period of time when somebody would be building this themselves.
Probably so. Source. Yeah. Yeah, but I'm looking at the code right now where we load in the IR file. We're just doing it with the function LLVM parse IR file in context. And then we use LLVM link modules to link the runtime. We're not using Clang at all for loading the bitcode. We're only using LLVM functions.
Speaking of which, it'd be really nice whenever that use scheme that Red was working on becomes available. That would be nice.
Yes. Yeah, because that would not require Clang either.
Yes.
So there shouldn't be an issue with Clang versions. We should be. And more people can use the runtime BC option than we previously were talking about, because I was still thinking about Clang being a requirement because I remember reading that the docs. But yeah, it's not a requirement on the system of the user who is using PonyC, nor obviously on the system of the person who's running the program. So yeah, so with that said, yeah, it should definitely be possible for somebody who's doing an optimized build, unless you said like it's something particularly esoteric, somebody who's doing an optimized build to use the runtime BC. And if we supply, we can decide if we want to supply different flavors of the runtime BC that have different features turned on and off at whatever mix we think is appropriate.
Cool. When we finish this one, as we're running short on time, but hopefully I'm going to hope that we could go over some, if we can go over some, could we discuss 1837?
Yes.
I feel like it's a really good segue from where we just were.
Yeah, we can discuss now.
So 1837 is use LLD as our linker, or at least our default fallback linker. There are many questions for what this would be. Right now, when you build Pony, it has no idea what your linker is that's available on your system. So it sets as a fallback. It sets whatever the compiler was to use that you did the linking of Pony C with. And it will first check to see if there is a CC environment variable set. If yes, it will use that compiler as your linker by passing all of the object files through like Clang or GCC or whatever else it is in a way that it can then actually do the linking. And this is honestly kind of a pain in the ass to get right so that you don't get weird warning messages and everything, depending on the user's install using a pre-built Pony C. And many, many, many eons ago, we opened a ticket April 12, 2017. It would be nice to eliminate the compiler's dependence upon a C compiler for linking on Linux and link.exe for on Windows, and instead use LLD, the LLVM linker as a linker embedded within Pony C to do all the linking itself. At the time, there were still problems with LLD where that was not possible. It looks like it certainly is possible now. Sebastian did work last year to get it working, and it appears to be working. And I would very much like to bring this back to life and potentially simplify things. But it would be a question of, if we did do this, what does it look like when we make the change? I think the two big options is to eliminate the fallback and have it be, if you didn't set CC, for example, then we use LLD as your linker. And you could still override the linker using, there's two compiler flags that allow you in a roundabout and confusing way to change the linker that you use. The advantage to doing it this way would be that if there is a bug in LLD that's discovered, the user can switch to using a different linker on their machine, which would be nice, but that involves a bug in LLD, which hopefully there aren't any of this sort. And two, if somebody wanted to use a faster linker, for example, there's a linker called Mold, which has been getting some buzz again lately because it can link much faster than LLD and much, much, much faster than the GNU Gold linker, for example, then people would be able to use that as a possibility as well. I have my particular preference for how this should be, but I think the real topic of conversation, probably more than anything else that we need to solve, and Gordon's here. So Gordon, I think you'd be a good person on this as well, is what do we consider as to be the optimal thing that we want to do if we were to embed LLD?
My suggestion, just to reduce maintenance burden for esoteric use cases, is to only support the embedded LLD. That's my opinion.
Gordon?
For simplicity, yeah. If we're building our own LLVM.
Which we are.
I can understand the use case for allowing people to experiment with Mold. And then, like, it would be nice to be able to build on Windows without having to install Visual Studio.
Oh, I forgot about that one for a win. Yes. As a runtime user, you no longer have to install Visual Studio. I think that's a huge win. Sorry. I mentioned that when we were talking about this in Zulip, but didn't mention it now.
The other thing is, like, it was a long time ago I read about mold, so I don't know exactly, but as I understood it, mold was geared toward like high parallelization of like compiling, like, you know, the use case of a typical large C or C++ project where I have many, many object files and I want to quickly link them together. And that's not applicable really to the Pony use case, because in the Pony use case, you are merging everything as LLVM, into an LLVM module. Like, it's all getting collapsed into the same Pony program. It's one LLVM module. Well, it's two if you include the runtime, but those are already merged by the time we hit the linker. So at the linker's perspective, we just have one object file that we want to convert to an executable. And so the question I would pose for the mold use case is, like, would mold even be a performance benefit if you only have one object file?
Our actual link phase is so tiny and small. All of our time is spent on those various LLVM optimizations, and
which is effectively linking to a different set.
Linking. Yes. So I personally think that the using a different linker, right, there's no performance win for using a mold. This would be if for some reason on my particular platform LLD has a bug, right, or LLD is, you know, otherwise. There's some problem with LLD.
I would submit that that's rare enough that we could deal with it when it comes. And if needed, we can do an LLVM patch, right? We have the infrastructure to support patching LLVM in our CMake. So I think, you know, if that case comes up and it's blocking somebody, we can do some kind of hack to patch it in probably.
I have another advantage. I found an old ticket. So I have another advantage using the embedded LLD, right? There was somebody who was not able, and I don't remember the ticket. I don't have it here. I found it from, I found it like 3 or 4 days ago. If you search, I believe, link or LLD or something like that in the open issues, there'll be this one where someone was unable to link to a specific library using their Pony program with the use lib, blah, 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 because there was an additional linker annotation that needed to be given for this particular thing to be linked. And it was stated on that it would be nice to be able to include linker annotations in the lib use scheme for those occasions when they're needed. This, I think, would actually be kind of hard and a pain in the ass to do with our current one, because you'd have to say something like, well, if Windows, or except, you know, oh, well, what if you're using, you know, even if you're just on Linux, somebody might be using LLD, someone might be using Gold, someone might be using some other linker and they don't support the same annotations. But if we were to say it's LLD for everything, then we could support being able to, when you're using some third-party stuff, which is how we pull the additional linker options in, we could have more control over it, as there's only a single linker that we're targeting, right? We could do those annotations if we needed, for example.
Yes, I think we could probably do them either way, but yeah.
We could, but it would be nicer and easier, and it might be hard for somebody to do it in a third-party library kind of way where they don't have access to each of the systems in order to make sure that they get those flags correct, right? And then if a person wants to use it on Windows, but oops, the person didn't get the annotation correct for Windows because they didn't have a Windows develop machine, now you have to fork the library. This is not a huge win, but I still think it is. It's a win which hints towards other things, which is that we have these dependencies on using all of these different linkers. And even just in the code that we have, it's kind of messy, you know, in our support for it and making sure whether we know where they have this correct.
Yep. The other thing is it opens the door to making cross compilation a little bit easier. If you have access to a sysroot for the target, in theory, LLD should be able to, you know, if you cross compile using LLVM and LLD, you should be able to produce an executable for a different OS if you have the sysroot available?
So what Sebastian did in his commit that he has for this is he only put in like the ELF driver if you were on Linux.
Yeah.
He put in the Mach O driver if you're on Mac OS, but there's no reason why we couldn't put all of those drivers in, right?
Yeah.
And actually, and this would start to improve our cost. It would make it easier to do our cross compilation thing for not just the format, but the architectures as well as yeah, you can do any architecture with LLD when it's embedded. That, you know, it supports all of them,
like, right,
with it. So
yeah, as long as you got the sysroot, you're good to go.
I spent a decent amount of time educating myself on all of this for whenever this popped into my head to look in again, just like a few days ago, getting up to date on stuff. And I have come at it a bit. Initially, I was like, oh, I think we could add it as you know, a thing, and then we keep the other options. But I would rather just throw the other stuff out and have the much simplified, let's only support LLD. If we run into bugs, then we can figure that out when we get there. Just like everything that we take on, you know?
Yeah, I think I am in agreement. Yep.
Gordon, how about you?
Sorry, I wasn't paying attention.
Would you be in favor after all of this conversation of throwing out the old compiler, the old linker flags, and only supporting the embedded LLD?
Yeah, I'd be in favor of that.
Okay. I feel, Joe, based on the unanimity we have from three core team members here, that this doesn't need to go through an RFC.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, somebody could pop up and be like, oh my God, this totally breaks my scenario that's out there. But in all likelihood, anybody who that would have happen is probably not going to notice the RFC anyway, you know?
Yeah, because like, we're not aware of active people that are doing things like this, and it's unlikely. Yep. Yeah.
I specifically know of a few pony things which are in production, right? I know that Red has a few, and Red didn't know anything about this one way or another. So I don't think in any fashion this would break Red stuff, especially seeing how I know he's all in Linux and everything, we'd be fine. I know it wouldn't impact hasn't compiled in like with any of the Pony C versions in quite a while, stuff that Wallaroo still has out there running in production. So, I mean, as far as we know for the world of Pony production stuff, this isn't going to cause something to come to a screeching halt. And so I'm completely comfortable with it.
And probably the worst case is just that you get a compile time error about a flag that's not supported anymore. If you were using a specific linker before, and it's overwhelmingly likely that your program will still compile and link as you wanted it to, using the embedded LLD, compared to whatever linker you were using before. It's hard to imagine the advantage you'd get unless there was a bug in embedded LLD.
Yeah. All of the stuff where from like even 3 or 4 years ago, there was plenty of stuff for LLD isn't ready. We have this problem. There were a lot of Windows problems, et cetera, and everything with it. But over the course of time, those just died out. And I can't find anything recently with people still like experiencing these. It could just be that nobody's talking about it because there's something that's been around for so long. But from what I've seen from people talking about it in various forums for different things, it looks like everybody's saying, oh yeah, this is good. We can use it now, even if we're linking for Windows. So.
Cool. All right. I don't think we have time for other topics, unless there's anything urgently we want to discuss here. Otherwise, thanks everyone. And we'll see you next week.